Like that tie, brother.
True blue. Red, white, and blue. But yeah. Still the best country in the world.
True.
Amen.
For now. Still is a drop in the bucket, though. Ain't
it? Yeah.
Drop in the bucket with all the
habits of the grasshoppers. Amen.
Okay, we've got Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, what we got down to last time. Zephaniah 2, 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, look at 1:6 real quick. 1:6. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of him. So it looked like most of Israel, or the Jewish nation, was not seeking the Lord. So that's why he tells them here to seek the Lord. Just like I've told a lot of people a lot of times on visitation, or when you're witnessing to a lost person, I'll quote Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
Right, call upon him.
Call ye upon him while he's near. And that's what an unsaved person ought to do.
Mm-hmm.
While the Lord's dealing with him.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you talk to people and the Lord don't deal with them a bit. I mean, it don't have any effect on them whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But when it does, they need to call on God while they can.
That's right.
Yeah.
So most of Israel wasn't seeking the Lord. Amos 5:6 says, seek ye the Lord and ye shall live.
Mm-hmm.
And notice there it said, it may be, let's see, seek righteousness, seek meekness. Seek meekness, the meek of the earth. The meek of the earth. So this thing right here is geared to the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 5 and 6. Matthew 5, 5 and 6. The famous Sermon on the Mount. And the reason I say famous is so many people emphasize that passage for salvation today, which right. Don't have anything to do with salvation
right.
Today.
Like the Ten Commandments.
Matthew 5, 5 and 6. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But notice what Zephaniah is talking about here lines up with Matthew 5, even 5, 6 and 7. So it's aimed at a tribulation Jew right before the second coming of Jesus Christ, who it's aimed at. Matthew chapter 5 through 7, not only as parts of that thing for the Jew in a tribulation to get ready for the kingdom that's coming up when Christ comes back, it's also going to be a constitution for the millennium. It's a constitution or a plan of salvation for the millennial age. Now, if you read chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, something you ought to notice, every bit of it works.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. No faith whatsoever in those chapters.
Right.
None whatsoever.
Right.
A person in the millennium, he's going to have to do good works in order to get to go eat off the tree of life. Now, that's not your plan right now.
Right.
You work because you are saved. You don't work to be saved.
Amen.
You work because you are saved. Amen. Now, the Beatitudes. That's a blessedness used for the joys of the kingdom and heaven. It's a declaration of blessings made by the Savior. It comes from the word beatify. See, I never heard that word. It's in the dictionary. The dictionary will show it as beatific. It gives the adjective of beatify or beatitudes. That means to make happy or to bless with. So that's what's going on in Matthew. That's what they're promised in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Remember that it's not the plan for the church age. It's not your salvation plan. It's what it's coming up for future. I watched a news interview when Bill Clinton was president. They had about a 30-minute special on Bill and Hitler. I mean Hillary.
Hillary.
And they was talking, and then the news media switched to what they called a religious moment.
Mm-hmm.
A religious moment.
Former godliness.
And they were talking about religion. And Hillary, she said that she believed that the way to heaven was to keep the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes.
Ain't that something?
That was her plan of salvation. Well, she'll go to hell like a bullet if that's what
sure
she's
will.
Trusting in to get her to heaven, because that's not the plan of salvation for this age.
That's right.
But that's what happens in religious moments. Most people with their religious moments, they're trusting in the wrong plan. They're trusting in the wrong passages. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3 is a tribulation passage. It's a tribulation passage. Look at Psalm 76. Turn to Psalm 76. Psalms chapter 76. Psalm 76 verse 6 says, "At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep." A dead sleep. That's what's going to take place at the Battle of Armageddon. A dead sleep. The chariot and chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Now, they're going to die. Is what that's talking about. Death is a type of sleep for the Christian. They're going to be killed in the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 19 is the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 19:17. I'm bringing you up to this thing, showing you it's a tribulation passage right before the second advent of Christ. Revelation 19. We'll put these few scriptures together here. That's how you get your truth. That's how you get your fact, by comparing scripture with scripture.
It's true, Brother Mike.
Revelation 19. You'll be familiar with this passage if you've read your Bible much at all. Revelation 19:17-19. "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." And you've heard me comment on that. You know what that's talking about. Yeah. The Lord's going to prepare that supper. It's going to be people, horses, kings. It's going to be, and the birds are going to eat them. "That they may eat the flesh of kings," there it is, "and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great."
Mm-hmm.
Pretty rough, ain't it?
Yeah.
Pretty rough. This world's headed for disaster at the Battle of Armageddon. "And I saw the beasts and kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." And his army will be us, plus the Old Testament saints. We'll be coming back with him. Psalm 76, go back to Psalm 76:12 says, Psalm 76, what? "He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth." See how all that connects? And it's pointing toward the Battle of Armageddon. All of it is connected together.
Hey, Brother Mike.
Yes.
I'd like to read more scripture that's connected to that.
Oh, there's a bunch of it.
Psalms chapter 2 says, "Why do the heathen rage? Because they're full of the devil, and the people imagine a vain thing because they don't want the truth."
True.
"Why do the kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed?" Talking about preachers, saying, let's do away with them. Let's break their band asunder and cast their cords from us. I like verse 4. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh."
Right.
"The Lord shall have them in derision." He's going to have the final laugh, the final say. And when it's all said and done, man's going to wish that they hadn't tried to get rid of the Bible, the church, the preacher, but rather received, gave place to God, and had a life.
It's going to crash going to the Battle of Armageddon.
Sure enough.
Some more connections to this battle. Look at Psalm 76:8-9, connected with Zephaniah. 8-9. "Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still." When God arose to judgment to save all the what?
Meek.
All the meek. All the meek of the earth. And there's look at that last word there. That shows you where it's going to take place.
Right.
Selah. Selah Petra. Anytime you see that word Selah, it's talking about, it's appointing the seal of Petra over there in Jerusalem, over there in Israel, where God's going to protect that Jewish remnant during the terror of the Antichrist and during the battle of Armageddon. All that stuff is connected. Now, notice hid in the day, and they're going to be hid in the day there in Zephaniah.
Mm-hmm.
Get back to Zephaniah. They're going to be hidden at Petra, hidden in the day. You got Zephaniah 2:3 connected with Psalm 76, connected with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So it's a tribulation passage. That's what it's talking about. And Selah, Petra, that's where they'll be hidden. All that stuff is connected, and it's all coming up future. Now, we're hid in a different place. The saints, today, the church age saints, we're hid in a different place. We're not going to be hid at Petra. Selah, Petra is not our hiding place. Our hiding place is in Jesus Christ.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where we're hid.
We'll be
revealed. Hid with Christ in God. Okay, verse 4. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. That shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Some more stuff is going to take place in the tribulation and Armageddon. Now, Zephaniah has been pronouncing judgment on the Jew. Now he turns to the Gentile. He's going to talk about judgment on the Gentiles now. These cities are four or five cities of the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
They belong to the Philistines. And I don't know why, but here he leaves Gath out here. There's those five cities. Let's look at those five cities. 1 Samuel 6:17. 1 Samuel 6:17. Gath is not mentioned, and I don't know why. 1 Samuel 6:17. It could be already absorbed in the other nations. It could already be destroyed by the time Second Advent takes place, but he leaves Gath out. 1 Samuel 6:17. 1 Samuel 6:17. And these are the gold emeralds which Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord. Here's those Philistine cities. For Ashdod, 1. For Gaza, 1. For Ashkelon, 1. For Gath, 1. And for Ekron, 1. Gath's left out here. One thing about Gath is where Goliath was from.
Right.
That's where he was from. I don't know exactly what that has to do with why it's left out. But 1 Samuel 17:4 says that Goliath was from Gath. You know who Goliath was?
Mm-hmm.
He was that guy over there, that African. It was 9'3" tall. NBA, he'd make a fine. NBA would be after him if he was here today, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
They'd draft him in a minute. 9'3" tall.
Yeah, but they'd have to dig that rock out of his forehead, too.
Yeah, they had to get the rock out.
Across the line.
All right, this first city mentioned. You've heard a lot about this first city mentioned. This first city is called Gaza. It's the famous Gaza Strip over there in the Middle East today, right now. Gaza Strip. The Palestinians live there now. And the Palestinian is a Roman word for Philistine. Now, it's a prophetic reference to what God's going to do with the Palestinian Muslims in the Gaza Strip. That place right now is occupied by Muslims. And you know why it's occupied by Muslims? If you remember, right before Hurricane Katrina, Bush pressured Israel and forced them, he almost forced them to give away the Gaza Strip. You remember when that took place? Those Jews, they left their homes, they left their land, they left their businesses. And the Palestinians come in, they burn all the churches, they burnt the synagogues, and they leveled that land out, and they used it to launch rockets against Tel Aviv. That's what they used it for. But Bush, Brother Bush,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
According to Brother Bush, he's the brother, he's saved according to him.
Yeah.
But he let the devil use him to bring this about.
Political pressure.
Political yeah. pressure. That's just the trend of things. That's where it's all going. All this stuff is headed up by the devil. All this is taking place under Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting ready for what's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting ready for the man of sin.
Yeah.
The Antichrist is going to run this world. And it's all going to end up in the Battle of Armageddon. Bush pressured Israel to leave the Gaza Strip. And the reason he pressured them, you remember what it was talking about, all that stuff going on? Land for peace.
Mm-hmm.
Land for peace. Give away Gaza and you'll have peace with the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have peace. They started launching Scud missiles on Israel shortly after they gave away the Gaza Strip. And then you know what the Lord done in America? Sent Katrina. That was one of the worst weather devastations in our history.
Went to Bush's doorstep, didn't
it? Yeah, it blew the Bush mansion down up in the northeast. But they don't care. They had insurance, built it right back. And they probably didn't make the connection at all. They probably didn't make the connection a bit. They probably didn't know a bit what that was all about.
Scientists said that storm was completely impossible.
Perfect storm.
Said there was no way that storm could ever
And happen. Nobody connected that with what happened in Israel. That's the problem. Nobody makes the connection. They go right on stumbling in the dark, our government leaders do. All right, now, made them give away that land and promised them peace. Israel knew it wouldn't be any peace. Israel knew better. But they caved in under pressure and gave the place away. All right, now, after the Muslims launched rock attacks on Israel, Israel retaliated, and they almost leveled that area over there. They killed a bunch of those Muslims, and you can't blame them. Well, all right, Miss Clinton, she took $90 million of your tax money after that took place, and she gave it to those Palestinians to help take care of the people who were killed and the people who were bombed out of their homes and things by Israel. $90 million of your money they give it to Israel's enemies after Israel retaliated. That's the work of Bush, Obama, Clinton's, and the future ones coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Future ones coming up. Only thing you can do is vote for the lesser evil. Both of them going to be evil.
Yeah.
You just got to try to pick the lesser one when you vote. God's going to kick out every single Muslim out of that Gaza Strip pretty soon. He's going to give it back to Israel. And Israel's going to use that place for pasture land. They're going to have it for their sheep and their cattle.
You reckon he's going to take a poll before he does that?
No, he won't worry about what the UN thinks about it. The UN's going to be gone. Look at verse 4.
Ain't much or nothing.
No. Look at Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4. They're going to make pasture land out of this place. For Gaza shall be forsaken and Ashkelon of desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. Verse 6, and the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks.
Amen. They're
going to make pasture land out of that area to feed Israel's sheep. And their stock during the millennium. God gave that land to Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and Jacob. And it belongs to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to give it back to the Jews. Verse 5, woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you. That's rough, ain't it? How would you like to be a Cherethite? You know who the Cherethites are right now? Muslim.
Muslim.
Cherethite. But the word of the Lord is against this whole planet. It's not against you if you're saved, but if you're not saved and the people are not saved,
you to powder.
This whole planet is going to be destroyed during the Battle of Armageddon. And everybody's in trouble. He says he classes the nations as a drop in the bucket.
That's right. Inhabitants are but grasshoppers.
And he's going to judge and bring destruction to every nation on this planet where that Jew was scattered. That's what's coming up. Not only the Cherethites have got a rough road to hoe, but everybody on this planet's not saved got a rough road to hoe.
Mm.
Whoever's left behind after the rapture takes place is in big trouble. Big trouble. Cherethites are the Philistines who lived in southern Judah. At the time this was wrote, they lived in southern Judah. 1 Samuel 30:14 verifies that. This is what happened when Joshua, Moses, Caleb, they came into Canaan and they started taking these cities for themselves. They started taking these nations, conquering these nations for Israel. Because the Lord gave it to them, told them to go in there and conquer it. And the Philistines, the Cherethites, they were in southern Judah. And by the way, Judah is the tribe that Christ came from. And these Cherethites were living there, and when Moses and Joshua went in, they went in there and destroyed that bunch, and took their land, because you say, well, that wasn't fair. Yeah, it was. God gave it to them. God owns the whose planet. He can give it to whoever he wants to.
That's right. Choose to give.
He can give it to whoever he wants to. And remember this, shall not the God of all the earth do right? Do right. That land over there is a special land. God gave it to the Jew.
Land flowing milk and honey.
Let's see. What was it? 1 Samuel 30:14. 1 Samuel 30:14. Where is Samuel? Is Samuel in here?
Oh, yeah.
1 Samuel 30:14. We made an invasion. There you go. Jews going in, taking the promised land, like they were supposed to do. But they only done a partial invasion. But then what they're supposed to do is saved a whole lot of trouble today. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah. There it is. They live in Judah. And upon the south of Caleb, south Judah. And we burned Ziklag with fire. So they went in and done what they were supposed to do. They took Judah. They're Hamites. Notice over here, they're Hamites. Verse 5, O Canaan. O Canaan. That's Hamites. How many know what a Hamite is?
Oh, yeah.
Raise your hand if you know what a Hamite is.
Descendants of Ham?
Genesis Ham, yeah.
Yeah.
Genesis 10:14-15.
Noah's son.
These are the African people. Genesis 10:14-15. When they went into the promised land, it was controlled by Canaanites. Genesis 10:14-15. And Pathrusim and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim, and Captorum, and Canaan begot Zidon, his firstborn, and Heth. 18 talks about the and the Arvadite and the Zemarite and the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. So those are Africans that filtered into the Middle East over there. Verse 6, they're going to make that place pasture land in the millennium for Israel. Verse 7, I got to get through verse 7 here. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. For the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. That's talking future. That hadn't even happened when the time Zephaniah wrote. This is talking about future. Now, there was a partial restoration during Ezra and Nehemiah's day, but just a partial. And they were scattered again to destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And they're scattered all over the world right now. Mm-hmm. And so this is yet future. This is coming up. Regathering of Israel. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. Too bad the governments of this world can't read that passage and take it to heart.
Right.
Too bad the government of this world can't come up with a resolution and give that area back to the Jew right now. Right now. Just imagine if the UN met next week and they say, we move that nobody can live in Palestine except Israeli Jews. You think about that a minute.
Yeah.
First of all, it would probably cause a world war.
Oh, yeah.
Second of all, if they got it done, it'd save a whole lot of bloodshed coming up in the future.
Yeah,
and it'd save a whole lot of trouble. And it'd cause a whole lot of blessings on the planet if they would do it. If they would do it, but they're not going to do it.
ISIS is right now on the doorstep of Israel, coming in through Egypt, and Israel won't play no games.
No, Israel will wipe them out real quick. They'll take care of them like
it won't be
take
one truck here, one truck there. It'll be like you said, a tsunami.
Yeah.
All right, it'll save a lot of bloodshed, cause a lot of blessings on the planet, but it won't happen until Jesus Christ comes back. There won't be any peace until the peacekeeper gets back.
That's right.
Peacemaker comes back. It won't happen until Jesus Christ
returns. That's true,
Turn away the captivity of Israel. Israel will be restored. Probably 75% of Christendom today are professing Christian. Let me say that.
Yeah.
Does not believe in the restoration of Israel. They don't believe Israel is going to be restored. Your Church of Christ, Catholics,
I believe Revelation is history.
Yeah, they believe it's past history. Yeah. They don't believe Israel's going to be restored, and they think God's finished with the Jews, but he's not.
It's
going to be restored. Israel's going to be restored. The Bible's full of it. The Bible's full of it. We're looking at just a few verses on the restoration of Israel. Deuteronomy 30, verse 3. Deuteronomy 33. 30, verse 3. Instead of 33. It's 33. These people that say that Revelation's past history, they're blind. Man, there's things going to go on in Revelation that's never happened on this planet. They're just blind. They reject the truth. That's what their problem is. 30, verse 3. Then now the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Sounds like a restoration to me.
Yeah.
Restoration. Psalms 85:1. We'll look at this and we'll be done.
Amos 9:15 too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. It's full of it. The Bible's full of restoration of Israel.
You say look at Psalms.
Psalms 85, verse 1.
So all get straightened out September
23rd. Amen.
That's when the folks meet with the UN at the
this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been meeting to the mines there once.
One world order on the way, boys.
Okay. Psalms 85:1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Now you say that looks like past tense. But when the Lord speaks, he can speak in what I... Remember, you've heard me say this before. He can talk about the future like it's the past. Or he'll talk about the past like it's the future. I give you a lot of examples of that. When the Lord speaks, he can speak in past, present, future tense. You say, how can he do that? Because he inhabits eternity. He sees out there just like it's already took place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he sees right now just like he sees it out there. He sees it right now. He sees it all.
Oh, yeah.
He inhabits eternity. He sees beginning and ending. So he can talk like that. And for a man to take that book and try to confuse that thing and mess it up and say, no restoration for Israel, he's an idiot.
Read that last verse.
He's a Bible idiot. I might have that.
Last verse, Amos.
I don't have it listed, but there's a bunch of them.
God Amos, said he'd be the one to do it, too. He said, I'll plant them.
Hosea, Joel, Amos. The last verse of the last chapter?
Last verse of the book of Amos.
And I will plant them upon their land. There you go. There's future tense. You see how he spoke back there, past tense. He's speaking here in future tense. And he can do that because he's eternal. He's done seeing everything. He sees it laid out right now. We can't see it, but he sees it all laid out. Just think, one of these days you're going to inhabit eternity. Imagine that. Boy, it's going to be something, man.
You know, Psalms 83, verse 10, it talks about the White House.
Read that.
Yeah.
His parish at Endor, they became as dung for the earth.
Yeah, they just painted that day the rainbow color, so yeah, it ain't white no more anyway.
Well, you might be able to cover it up for a while.
15, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saying, Lord thy God.
Yeah.
We studied that. Remember, we went over that in detail when we studied Amos. Ezekiel 39:25. And then we're going to have to quit. Restoration of Israel, church, it's coming up. It's on deck. And so when that happens, we're already raptured. Judgment seat of Christ is already behind us. We're already in glorified bodies. We've already come back with the Lord at Armageddon and fought the battle of Armageddon with him. The millennium is already established and taking place when Israel's restored.
Ezekiel what?
Ezekiel 39:25. It's getting gloriously dark for us.
All right.
39:25. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, mm-hmm. and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. Restoration of Israel. That's coming right. up. Okay, you're dismissed.
That's good, brother.
God, brother. Has Israel ever occupied all the land of God?